Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sonarly, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A major development that is going to affect the April 4 general election for Supreme Court and for some other judicial races. Remember, the primary is the 21st. 21st is coming up real quick. It's less than 3 weeks away, but the general is April 4. The legislature is gerrymandered. You know, it's gerrymandered. It's not a democracy. It's a corrupt legislature. They thought that it would be a fine, sneaky idea to put two referenda, one a constitutional referendum, the other one just advisory, on the April 4 ballot, hoping that it would goose the Republican vote, that would bring out conservatives. Well, I think it's backfiring badly, and also there's a lawsuit now not to even put it on the ballot. Here's the consequence. First of all, one of the measures was on bail, and they want to get everybody juiced up about bail. I'm juiced up about bail. I think that our bail laws are insufficient. But one of the things that you absolutely need in a bail law is to let a judge keep someone locked up if he's afraid that witnesses will be murdered by this guy, or he will direct a crime operation to murder him, or to go out, and if he stalked, for instance, a woman, this happens, they get a restraining order, he's put on bail, and he goes and kills him. If I'm a judge, and I would exercise this discretion very, very carefully. Here in Milwaukee County, we've had several cases that can't go forward because witnesses have been murdered. The bad guy got out, or he got out enough to direct criminal associates and they kill witnesses. There has got to be a law in this state, like in other states and like on the federal level, that says a judge has the authority. Forget bail. They don't get bail. They've got to stay in or they'll kill a witness or murder a woman. This does not address that. This legislature is not only corrupt, this legislature is incompetent. They're dunces. So what they do is they keep talking about bail, cash bail. Yeah, absolutely. There should be cash bail and it should be high cash bail for some of these people. But it doesn't go far enough. They're just trying to rile people up who don't know what they're talking about. The second thing is welfare. Now, what is welfare? The Republicans think unemployment comp is welfare. They think Medicaid is welfare. They think food stamps are welfare. And so what they want to do is to get people all riled up. But this is an advisory referendum. It has no legal effect. And all it says is, what is presently done, it should be the law. Well, it should be the law because it is the law. So the way they word it to juice up their base, they think they're juicing up their base, is to go, do you believe that people should be required to work before they get welfare? Well, right now, the kind of welfare they're talking about, that is a requirement. And if you get unemployment comp, I have two problems with them. Number one, unemployment comp isn't welfare. You're hardworking people. They get laid off. They're looking for another job. We pioneered unemployment comp in the state of Wisconsin back almost 90 years ago through the University of Wisconsin labor law professors and faculty at UW. It makes sense. You tide people over so they don't lose their houses, so they get another job. It's not eternal. They're referring to it as welfare, saying you have to work. Well, guess what? You do. You are required to look for work, and you have to show that you look for work. And most people on it get work. So that's number one. Number two, besides my objection to calling unemployment comp work. How about Medicaid? They don't say Medicaid. The federal government wouldn't let them say, guy comes into the emergency room with an arrow in his back, his arm half cut off. You go, you got to show that you're working or the heck with you, get out there on the sidewalk and bleed to death. That doesn't happen. That shouldn't happen. This is a phony, phony referendum. Now, fortunately, there's a group in the state called Wisdom. It's a state faith-based organization statewide. And another organization have brought suit against the federal strike act, the Wisconsin Elections Board. What is the basis for the suit? It's an excellent basis. The law requires that anything that is going on a ballot be submitted to the clerks, and in the case of Milwaukee County, their election commission, 70 days before the election. It's black and white, 70 days. 70 days before the April 4 election was January 25th. The state elections board got it from the legislature, and they filed it with the clerks and the Milwaukee County Election Commission on January 26th. They missed it by a day. And you may say, oh, come on, Matt. Listen, I'm a lawyer. Practiced law for about 40 years. If you missed the statute of limitations by one day, you missed it, Jack. You missed it, Jack. And the fact of the matter is, it's there for a reason. Now, any judge looking at this would say, yeah, these things shouldn't be on there. Stick them on some other time. Stick them on in the August primary. Who cares? They're fake anyway. The bail thing doesn't go far enough, and the other one's a phony. See what happens with these judges, what they end up doing. But the reason this is significant is because that Supreme Court election is going to determine whether we have democracy in this state now, or we continue with gerrymandered legislatures, continue with the 1849 abortion law that is 174 years old that women couldn't vote on. If you want a statute, fine, pass another one. Let's debate it and see what you're doing. But there are a lot of OBGYNs who won't stay in the state. They can't treat a woman with an ectopic pregnancy. And they don't want, and I don't want, a gerrymandered legislature. That's commie stuff. It's commie government, not conservative government. And that's what's happening right now. Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet, is the strongest, really the only candidate competent to sit on the Supreme Court among the four. You take this Dan Kelly. Dan Kelly was blasted by Mark Belling. Mark Belling is the ultimate conservative. He said Dan Kelly's no good. He's on a revenge tour. He just wanted to avenge his prior loss. He barely got in enough signatures, a couple hundred more than the deadline. Most people put in double. He didn't do that. Can't find volunteers. There's a stench. There's an air of defeat around Dan Kelly's campaign. And Doro was attacked by Rebecca Bradley, the right-wing Bradley over there, not the good Ann Walsh Bradley. And Shelley Grogan, a court of appeals judge with very thin credentials, who somehow managed to worm her way onto the court of appeals. And these two characters attack Doro. They've shown up with a binder. She only reads stuff that she's given. She has some splaining to do, by the way. Her son, Michael, is under investigation by the police for selling drugs. A kid named Cade Reddington died of fentanyl poisoning. And a couple of the dead guy's friends said they saw him go out of a bar and get something for Michael Doro. And so maybe Michael Doro has a defense. We're not prejudging it, but he won't cooperate. They got a lawyer. We don't know who's paying for the lawyer. And the friends of Kay Reddington said that Michael Doro showed them texts from his mom, the judge who's running for Supreme Court, Jennifer Doro, saying, are you still dealing drugs? Well, there's drugs and there's drugs. If you think there's fentanyl involved, another one will kill another kid. You got to cooperate with the police to some extent. That's not happening. She has a lot of explaining to do. The other weird thing that just came out, she and her husband are trying to buy a shooting range where they can serve alcohol. Well, that's a great idea. The shooting range out in Waukesha County, it was said in the paper that a pregnant woman was grazed by a bullet. Hey, look, you're ready for the Supreme Court. Do we have any standards? I mean, is the bar that low? Is the bar that low? But that's why it's important that Wisdom's lawsuit win, knock these two crazy things, corrupt things off the ballot. When I say corrupt, I mean that constitutional amendment doesn't go far enough. They didn't think it out. Most of them couldn't find the rear ends if they had their hands in the back pockets. And the other one is a fake. Okay, I see the lines. We're going to go quick to the lines. We have a little time before. And if I don't get both of you, stay on. I'll get the other one right after the break. Dick of Madison, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Well, Matt, it's a shame the Democrats couldn't put a referendum question out there, too. Do you think it's welfare if you collect just short of $57,000 a year and work about 2.5 months of the year?
You're talking about the legislature today.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I mean, come on.
The point of the matter is we did ask for a referendum, just so everybody out there knows. We asked for one on abortion. Sure, the 1849 law, which is 174 years old and women couldn't vote for it, and it's based on science from the mid-19th century. Should we update that, you know, say that that's no good, throw it out, and say that under Roe v. Wade, abortion is a very, very sad decision to have to make, but the woman should make it and her doctor, and why don't we do what we've been doing for 50 years? They wouldn't let it on. They wouldn't let debate on it. You have to understand something. When there's a gerrymandered legislature like this that won't let debate, whenever Evers proposes something, there are some things that if the judge proposes, they are required by law to discuss. You know what they do? They gavel it in, and some clown in the back, some clown that crawled out of the woods somewhere, goes, I move to adjourn. Okay, we can go. 30 seconds later, it's a fake. It's a fake legislature. So, Dick, yeah, I do think. But that's not the referendum I'd put on. We already tried to put a referendum there on this 1849 law. This 1849 law is listen, there were statutes in England in the 1300s, the 1400s. We go back and we go, we're going to enforce those statutes? Or there were statutes in, say, Mississippi in 1803. We're going to go, come on, come on. This is America. I see you in the line. Don't hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of things about the race for Supreme Court in this state. The Journal Sentinel, they want to always label it liberal against conservative. But on the ballot, it's nonpartisan. The ballot you'll be marking on to register your vote. And this is, it's really not true because Judge Janet is for getting rid of forever chemicals in the water. They want fair maps in the state of Wisconsin. The way it's set up now, it's not fair elections. It's sided to one side. And I don't know how they can call that liberal thought, you know. And also, like I said yesterday, you have three election deniers, which means you had a free, fair election, and they wanted to overturn that election for Trump. You don't need that on the court. That's not what the Supreme Court is about. And the way this is shaping up, in my opinion, Judge Janet P. is the only one that's going to do that. The rest of you know, and Kelly, he does hold a grudge. He doesn't even want Doral because. And he doesn't like Hilgadorn. I hope I said that name right. But anyway, just your opinion. This is nonpartisan. People need to look at the issues these judges are going to rule on and if they're for them rulings or not. And the big thing is gerrymandering, free, fair elections. And then, of course, you have the election deniers on the court. Okay, That's my say today, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Paul, you really hit a very profound point. The Journal is wrong if they say liberals and conservatives. Let me ask you this. Judge Janet has said that if they bring she thinks the maps are rigged and she'll have fair maps. Iowa is a conservative state. They have fair maps. She said that drop boxes should be permitted. Utah is a very conservative state. They have drop boxes. There is nothing conservative or liberal about following the Constitution and about fair elections. The whole idea of our Constitution, in the face of all the monarchies and the authoritarianism in Europe in the 18th century, was you're going to have people decide for themselves. It was a very, very innovative and shocking development. I mean, it's based on the Enlightenment, on Rousseau and Voltaire and all the philosophers of the 18th century, and separation of church and state, freedom of speech. You know, the king could kill you in these countries if he didn't like what you say. Really, in Europe. And he definitely could in Asia and Africa. Well, so why is it suddenly liberal or conservative to say that you want to follow the Constitution and have democracy? Number two, the Republican Party has poisoned our water. They have spread cancer in our water around the state with forever chemicals by keeping Fred Prynne on the DNR. So 4-3, he stopped new standards. He's the dentist from Wausau who finally stepped down. And he is very, very directly responsible for that vote that kept cancer in our water. Now these Republicans are going to getting some heat. Oh, maybe we should do something about these forever chemicals. Yeah, except they're in the water, Jack. They're in Green Bay. They're in Lake Michigan. They're in Milwaukee. They're in Dane County. They're in La Crosse and Eau Claire and Rhinelander and Marinette. They're all around the state, Jack. Okay. She said that she will crack down on that. She will crack down on that. How about the 1849 law banning abortion so that OBGYNs coming out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Medical School won't stay in the state? They don't want to get arrested by some crazy DA somewhere who wants to be in Congress, you know, get his career going. You cannot trust a Republican with money. They give a Chinese outfit and a scam, they prompt to $4.5 billion, ending up to make what, coffee makers or whatever, or electric cars, and then blocking Intel and Oshkosh Corporation from using the land. You cannot trust a Republican with money. You cannot trust a Republican with making public policy in a gerrymandered legislature. There have been some good Republicans in the past. Liz Cheney is one of them. Adam Kinzinger is one of them. We've had some people in the state, and I knew them a long time ago. But they're not around anymore. Not around anymore. And the other, so Janet Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz, a good, strong Polish name, from Milwaukee, judge for more, prosecutor in the toughest DA's office in the state, that's Milwaukee County, toughest crimes, for well over 20 years. She has more prosecutorial experience than all the other three combined. Been a judge now with a sterling reputation, and she'll follow the law. The clown Kelly is on a revenge tour. Mark Belling said he was on a revenge tour. He can't find volunteers. Doro, there's a text or a son said, are you still dealing drugs? He's under investigation by the police and they won't cooperate. She wants to be on the Supreme Court. I don't think so. I really don't think so. She shows up at a debate with a binder and you ask her, what is your name? And she opens the binder to look and see what her name is. I mean, she's just following instructions. You don't want that. The other guy, this guy from Madison, the Honorable Reverend, the guy that his wife said that he slipped her a sleeping pill and had sex against when she was unconscious and couldn't consent. He denies it, said it was consensual, took the pill herself. She says that he had emotionally abused her for so long. She checked herself into a hospital. She said that she checked him into a mental health facility. He denies it and says he checked himself in. I don't want 6 weeks of $20 million in advertising from the U-Lines in Illinois and Diane Hendricks in Beloit digging into his Sigmund Freud stuff. He can do his Sigmund Freud stuff in his own time. The only one we have is Janet Protasiewicz. She's terrific. You got to vote for her on the 21st of February. and she will put an end to the gerrymandering and everything else. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a meeting going on this afternoon. There's a nice little meeting going on this afternoon. No, it's not a nice meeting. Between Joe Biden and Kevin McCarthy in the White House. McCarthy wanted it. Biden said, fine, I'll meet with people. Now, speaking of lantern-jawed cretins and black ops, dark money androids, Kevin McCarthy comes to mind. This guy is dull. He's very dull. You look at the guy, there's not much going on behind the eyes, believe me, but in any event. And Joe Biden makes a very good point, and I'm going to lay it out what it is, and then we're going to see what McCarthy does. But here's what the point is. He said, first of all, Joe said, in raising the debt limit, all we are doing is agreeing to pay debts that we've already incurred. Bonds and paper that we've already issued to pay for things Congress has already voted for, and in some cases they've already been built. So the way it works is Congress goes, all right, we are going to allocate $1 billion for a bridge, and we vote for it. What happens is the U.S. government issues bonds and people buy them because they know that our full faith and credit is good. There's full faith and credit. The United States can't be compromised under the 14th Amendment. And we build a bridge. Almost alone among industrial nations, there may be one or two others, but I don't know who they are offhand. Almost alone, the Republicans go, well, yes, we voted for it. And then we went back to that district and boasted how we got it. But now we want to have another vote on whether we should pay the bonds that we issued and people paid cash for them to build a bridge. Well, no, that isn't the way things work. If those bondholders sue, they're going to get, in a court, they're going to get paid. But their lawyer will take a slice, 30% or something. So this is hurting the country badly. So Joe Biden goes, all right, McCarthy, you say you want spending cuts. Let's talk about that. But you got to raise the debt limit, and then what spending cuts do you want? Well, McCarthy won't tell him what spending cuts he wants because they met in their caucus and they talked about spending cuts to Social Security and Medicare. But the polls came out and showed that is overwhelmingly unpopular. 70% or more of people are against it. And I've said this before, but in West Virginia, more than 60%, 60, of folks in West Virginia, 65 and over, rely solely or primarily on Social Security and Medicare. So they can't come out and say that. So they go, well, we're not saying Social Security and Medicare. And Joe Biden goes, great, fine. Then we're in agreement on that. What do you want to cut? Elise Stefanik the other day, the number three, the woman from upstate New York, said, we want to cut the Defense Department. But just the woke programs. What woke programs? The Navy SEALs and the Marines, you think they're woke? What she's talking about is anything having to do with integrating people into the military who traditionally hadn't been in the military. Women, for instance. When I was in the Navy, there were no women in the military, and not in the Navy, other than as nurses. Before the Second World War, there were no black people in the Navy. She doesn't come right out and says that. She just goes woke. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's never served in the military herself. I don't want military spending cut. If you don't cut military spending and Social Security and Medicare, what are you going to do? Just not pay the salaries of secretaries who work in the government offices? So McCarthy is coming to this meeting going, I'm not going to raise the debt limit unless you cut spending. Biden will go, great, what spending do you want cut? McCarthy goes, I'm not telling you. You know, this clown, my advice to Joe Biden, then we're going to go to the lines. Not that he needs my advice, is Joe, the 14th Amendment gives you plenty of cover. It says the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be impaired. And it talks about pensions, among other things. And Janet Yellen now is not paying into pension funds because of this. She can't. You order the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve right now, issue bonds to cover what our obligations are. I'm talking about past obligations. And if the federal courts, the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court say you can't do it and they don't believe in the 14th Amendment, tell them what Andrew Jackson told them, what Abraham Lincoln told them back in the Civil War. In the Civil War, Honest Abe, you know, Maryland was sort of Southern oriented, sort of slave oriented. And there were some folks who were betraying the country, and Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus and had them arrested. And they brought an action saying he didn't have the right to do that. And it went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court was a right-wing pro-Southern Supreme Court. Chief Justice was Roger Taney. He's the guy that authored the Dred Scott decision. Terrible decision that said a black man couldn't be free under any circumstances. And in those days, the courts of appeals had one of the justices as there also as the head of the court of appeals. That's not the case anymore. And Roger Taney was head of the court of appeals there, and he ordered Lincoln to not arrest the guy. And Lincoln ignored him and arrested him. Roger Taney would have said that it was unconstitutional for the North to resist the South exiting the Union. At some point, you've got to tell tarantulas that they have no army. That's what Andrew Jackson told them some years before Lincoln. They have no army, but out. Going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joe?
Hey, Matt, I just wanted to return to the state Supreme Court race, and in particular, return to the situation with the Republican candidate, Judge Jennifer Doro, and the situation of her son, Michael Doro, allegedly being involved in a situation of a Percocet pill that he sold another student, Cade Remington, that was apparently laced with fentanyl. It caused the death of this young man, Cade Remington, on the University of Milwaukee campus. So the question I would have for you, I have three questions, Matt, that maybe you could help me with, because I'm asking in your purview as a lawyer here, three different questions. First off, they said that this, and I don't quite understand if this is true or not. They said that it is UW of Milwaukee police who are investigating this situation, not Milwaukee PD. So they said that if the investigation shows that there should be charges leveled, that the University of Milwaukee police go to the Board of Regents, who then requests a DA to seek charges against an individual. To me, that seems like a lot of layers one has to go through in order to seek justice in this situation. So that's my first question, if you know about that. The second would be that this is 15 months this has been under investigation, and the case includes witnesses who saw Cade Remington leave a bar, meet Michael Doro, presumably buys a pill, comes back. So there are parts of this that have been witnessed by various people. My second question would be, does 15 months in an investigation sound like a long time or a short time in this situation? And the last thing I wanted to add was, as I understand it, there is a law that was put forth in 1986 that was seeking to get harsh penalties against drug distributors if in the situation of passing on drugs, it leads to the death of another individual, you know, whether you intended it or not. And this would be one of these cases that would fit. It was called the Len Bias law. It's, you know, abbreviated as that. Is this a case where that would apply? And the reason why I ask is because the sentences are quite dirty. I mean, it's a 20 years minimum and up to life imprisonment if somebody is convicted of this. And some have said that perhaps Jennifer Doro has convicted other people on this. And boy, it seems like a real thorny, briary situation for her. I understand it's not her, it's her son, but nonetheless, there are, plunging right into a state Supreme Court race with this stew happening around her. Anyway, so if you would be interested in answering those three questions, I'll take the answers off there. Thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Joe, as always, your questions are incisive and profound, and I'm going to answer all three. First of all, I am not aware what you said, which is, thank you for letting me know that the UWM police are investigating it, and that they would go to the Board of Regents to refer it to the DA. The law would be that if there's a sale of a fentanyl in Milwaukee County, the DA already has jurisdiction and the Milwaukee police have jurisdiction. Whether they have some arrangement, because Milwaukee police are up to their necks and alligators themselves, there's plenty of stuff to do. If they have confidence in the UWM police and their policing organization, the UWM police can be helpful, and the Milwaukee police want to use that. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, what you appear to be saying is that the UWM police can't go to the DA without the Board of Regents approving it. That may be, but I'll tell you what, Cade Reddington's parents could go to the DA or the police, or. But it blends into your second question about the 15 months, and is that a long time? Here's why I suspect it went 15 months and why it's troublesome. Michael Doro is not cooperating. Jennifer Doro won't talk about it, won't say whether she's paying for his lawyer. Cade Reddington's father confronted her in a restaurant in Madison and she walked away. What bothers me is this. If it's Percocet, that's bad. Don't get me wrong. But if this fentanyl out there, one pill can kill. If another kid takes fentanyl, they're going to die too. And if Michael Doro knows where his supplier was, and there are plenty of ways for a good lawyer for Michael Doro to pass information on to the police without attributing it to Michael Doro, or quite frankly, plea bargaining and saying he wants to cooperate and we want something very light for the Percocet. But by stonewalling it like this, it could lead to another death. The other thing is 15 months. I am aware of the facts in the case. They were, Cade Reddington was in a bar called Axel's. I know where it is. It's like almost on the corner of Oakland and Locust on the east side of Milwaukee. And he sees Doro. He goes out. Doro clearly gives him something. He comes back. He takes it in the bathroom. The bouncer comes in, sees him, and throws him out. Now, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that, first of all, that happened. Well, the two witnesses can say that, so that's good evidence. But nobody's going to know exactly what Doro gave Cade Reddington. And the fact that Cade Reddington went into the bathroom, took it, bouncer threw him out, and then he died shortly thereafter. There's a very strong inference you can draw that was the fentanyl. The police may be looking for other information, trying to track the supplier. If they find the guy who gave Doro the drugs, they can lean on him to testify against Doro. I suspect, on those facts, I don't think that 15 months is out of line, because you have to have a chain of evidence and you have to be able to prove it. Finally, on the Len Bias law in 1986, federal law, could he be prosecuted federally? Because I don't believe that the state of Wisconsin has a Len Bias law. Well, and I may be wrong on that. I'm going to check it out, but I don't believe it does. So could he be federally prosecuted? Yes, he could be, if there's a federal connection. Clearly to me, the fentanyl came probably from Mexico, but you have to prove all those steps. And there are many instances where the feds in the state have what's called concurrent jurisdiction. In other words, the Milwaukee police could go after him, DA, or the feds. The feds are also up to the neck in alligators, and they frequently, in something like this, will defer to the state. So I suspect that's what's happened here. It does not mean that that can't change, but the statute of limitations for most felonies other than murder, because there is no statute of limitations on murder, is 6 years. So they're going to have a bit of a deadline here to keep in mind. But Joe, those are excellent questions. Thank you very much. And I agree with all of this. This is the bar isn't that low for the Supreme Court. Come on. Why are you running for the Supreme Court when all these questions are out there? Jennifer Doro. We're going to the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to give an update on Ukraine. Just announced, this is good news, there were at least five Russian light craft carrying reconnaissance, sabotage, and assassin teams destroyed by the Ukrainians. This was in the island chain right at the delta of the Dnieper River, where it flows into the Black Sea. The Ukrainians also sank a Russian warship on January 10. The reason I bring this up, Zelensky and the rest of the Ukrainian general staff are begging the United States and Western Europe for combat jets, F-15s. What the Ruskies are doing is landing these sabotage and assassination teams. They're looking for Zelensky. They look for people. They kill anybody they see. They're savages. They're genocidal savages. The Ukrainians have got to be able to defend themselves, and they've been very, very good about obeying instructions. So if we say, don't use these planes to bomb Moscow, they won't bomb Moscow. I don't want them to bomb Moscow. I want them to bomb the Russians in Crimea, in the Donbass in eastern Ukraine, and anywhere in Russia, right across, which they've already been hitting. If somebody's launching a missile into an apartment complex, you have a right to go out and hit where they are. But Putin right now is really on his last legs, in my view. He won't meet with anybody because he's afraid of being poisoned or shot or knifed. He doesn't trust anybody. People over there would like to kill him, and he has got to die. And the reason I say that is, if he just stops this war, claims partial victory, he will be assassinated. He knows it. He's riding the back of a tiger. When you're riding the back of a tiger, you can't get off the tiger because the tiger will eat you. So, whatever it takes, we know the coordinates of where he is physically at all times, sleeping or awake. We know where Yevgeny Prigozhin is, the sadistic head of the Waffen-SS, which are the Wagner group. We know where Ramzan Kartikov, the Islamic terrorist who heads up Chechnya. We know all these people. Give their coordinates 24/7 to everybody in the Ukraine general staff, to all of our allies in the area. There are a lot of Chechenians who have been abused by Ramzan Kartikov and are fighting for the Ukrainians and would like to know it themselves. Our objective has got to be to kill Putin and not us doing it. And one way to do that is to get the F-15s to Ukraine. I've got to mention one other thing. This thing blew me away. A principal in a Bucks County, Pennsylvania school told the librarian to take down a quotation that was on the wall in the library. The quotation is by Elie Wiesel, who is a Holocaust survivor, and he won the Nobel Peace Prize. So this guy ain't chopped liver, okay? He won the Nobel Peace Prize, had very, very many inspirational things that he said. One of them is great, and I'm going to read it to you right now. Elie Wiesel said, quote, "I swore never to be silent whenever and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the aggressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented." And he didn't apply it to any particular situation. He didn't apply it to any ethnicity, any race, any religion, any time in history, LGBT stuff, and none of this stuff. It's a magnificent statement. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. Quote, "I swore never to be silent whenever and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. It's a beautiful statement. This clown principal in Bucks County, which is apparently it no longer say conservative or liberal. Wisco Paul was right. It's not conservative or liberal. Before democracy is to be American. It's really American and commie. Well, this clown principal ordered the school librarian, a guy named Matt Pacek, P-E-C-I-C, Pacek, to take it down. He said he thought it was woke. When you start throwing around dogma and slogans from a really, really bad wing of a party that had once been a great party and now is deteriorating, and you just by saying the word woke, you get to throw this out, that's just wrong. I mean, that just is very wrong. I don't see anybody in the Republican Party in Pennsylvania or anywhere else saying that this was wrong. Nobody. Nobody said it was wrong. Nobody says it was wrong. One other update. You remember Scott Perry? Speaking of Pennsylvania, Scott Perry is the right-wing congressman who met with Trump and was one of the architects of the Green Bay sweep and overturning the election. He was the one that was helped come up with a fake electors scheme. He's the one that introduced him to that strange potential attorney general who never got in. Well, you remember back in August, they seized his cell phone. The FBI seized his cell phone. They got a warrant. They got a warrant. They felt that he had criminal behavior on his cell phone. He brought a lawsuit saying it's my cell phone. Yeah, okay. So what? There's felony evidence on there. The lawsuit was heard by a trial judge. And he said that the FBI had a good warrant and that they could search the phone. He appealed to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals has two judges on it, who were appointed by Trump. And they stopped it, stayed it, said the FBI can't look at the phone, even though they seized it under a warrant. They want, quote, more briefing, end quote. More briefing, end quote. Then they're going to have oral argument on February 23rd. February 23rd. This has all been done in secrecy. Nobody's heard about this. This was disclosed by Politico. Some source told them about it. Normally, federal courts are open to everybody, and there are reporters in and out of them all the time. What I'm concerned about is that these judges may say, no, he's a member of Congress, you can't search his phone. Okay, well, wait a minute. Then why did we get a warrant to seize it? And why did a trial judge who looked at it say, yeah, you can look at it? Well, he's a member of Congress. Yeah, he's a member of Congress, so what? So what? If a member of Congress has felony evidence on his phone, it should be searched. It's as simple as that. That's why they had a search warrant. That's why a trial judge said that it was okay to search it. So stand by. This is a different subject, and right now we're coming to the end of the show. We'll talk about some of, you know, Merrick Garland has got to start taking care of business. I mean, this guy, Merrick Garland has got to start taking care of business. How much evidence does he want, for Pete's sake? There were people up the wazoo testifying about Scott Perry already and about Trump and everyone else. We're coming to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great call-ins, as always. Remember to vote on February 21st. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz, because none of the others are going to get rid of gerrymandering. The two Republicans won't do it, and the other one's not going to win. Coming to the end of the show, Matt Flynn Direct signing off for today.